That short passage from the Gospel of Luke, not even 10 verses, is the most substantive window in all of Scripture to the grief felt by Jesus' disciples upon his death. It's not difficult to imagine why we don't get much of that grief. Is grief not an abandonment of faith, a resignation to the power of political forces to kill the proclaimed Son of God? Was that day, the Sabbath, Saturday, the one full day between Christ's crucifixion and return, not just a test of faith? In my view, the emphasis across the story of Easter on Christ's death and resurrection and the neglecting of his absence is among the gospel's greatest omissions. Good Friday, and then there's Easter Sunday. The Catholics call it the day in between Holy Saturday. I think that's a terrible, terrible name. I would propose Shitty Saturday as a replacement. Because there is no Sunday on Saturday. There is no expectation of Christ coming walking down that road. He's just gone. It's a shitty day. By and large, the cost of the Gospels give a terrible account of that Saturday. Jesus dies, and then we basically skip straight to the empty tomb. But there was a day in there, a Sabbath day, when all was lost. Mary, Mother of God, Simon Peter, John the Favorite, Mary Magdalene, Thomas, all was lost to them. They didn't think Jesus was coming back. Their son, friend, savior, brother, lover, murdered. Stricken from the world. And worse still, many of them felt that they had failed the Son of God in his last hours on earth. Saturday was a day of mourning, but not total hopelessness. Hope without any concrete reason, perhaps call it faith. Saturday was a day for faith. And when I look at the world around us today, part of me sees, among many other aspects of the world, a drawn-out, shitty Saturday. Saturday is the day when there is no clear hope, only a crushed dream and abandoned salvation. It is a day that has more to tell us about faith, joy, wonder, than we will ever know. It is on the Saturdays in life when we, like Cleopas, may find ourselves strolling on the open road. When we, like Elijah, despairing, may sit down beneath a broom tree. Hear that voice of God. Encounter a stranger. It is on Saturdays when we have no aim, no concrete destination that precludes surprise. When we go to work day in, day out, when we excitedly head to a friend's birthday party, when we rush to a doctor's appointment, to church, we do not encounter the passerby. We shield ourselves from being affected, struck by the unexpected, by the road itself. On Saturdays, on the days when we have no reason to think that Sunday might be better, we allow ourselves to get met, to be met by God. To be met by the voice coming through the winds, to be met by Christ the stranger. I recently saw the play by Tennessee Williams, A Streetcar Named Desire, at BAM. The closing line of the first act rang in my ears as I sat down to write this sermon. Sometimes there's God so quickly. How can God come quickly when we expect him to come tomorrow? To be surprised, to be saved by God, demands faith. A faith that releases all expectation for the Sundays of life when Christ returns triumphantly. I resign myself to Fridays. I hope for Sundays. I put my faith in Saturdays. The faith of Abraham Joshua Heschel was one of Saturdays. As a preeminent 20th century Jewish theologian and activist. His life was one enmeshed with some of the most severe Saturdays of human history. He fled the Holocaust, in which most all of his family was murdered. He was intimately involved in the American Civil Rights Movement, marching arm in arm with King at Selma. He railed against the excesses of capitalism and fought U.S. imperialism in Vietnam and elsewhere, speaking at protests nationwide. He died 3 months before the Sunday of that last battle, when U.S. forces withdrew from Vietnam. But the life and thinking of Heschel was the polar opposite of one of despair. It was one of celebration, of reverence, and most of all, of wonder. Wonder, in the view of Heschel, is that place where we are open to being met by God, by love. It is not always happy, and it is not only before the astounding, the vast, the beautiful. In Heschel's words, it may be sensed in every grain of sand, in every drop of water. Every flower in the summer, every snowflake in the winter may arouse in us the sense of wonder that is our response to the sublime. To set oneself in spaces and moments in which we may encounter wonder is a sacred vocation. For wonder to Heschel is not the beginning of knowledge, but an act that goes beyond knowledge. There is no answer in the world to humanity's radical amazement. Rather, wonder is the beginning of the human's awareness of the divine. And yet, all too often, we remain deaf to the throb of the cosmic that is subtly echoed in our own souls. The perception of the sublime is a rare occurrence. When we fail to wonder, we fail to respond to the presence of the divine. But in silence, the silence of those Saturdays, the silence of sitting at that tree, of walking down that road, we may listen. I speak not only of a physical silence, but of a silence of the soul. When we do not want after tomorrow, we do not seek to disrupt the present. Not just the Saturday before Easter, or even moments of profound loss, but every Sabbath day is an opportunity for such silence, for such faith, and for such wonder. As Heschel describes about the Sabbath, all week long, we are called upon to sanctify life through employing things of space. On the Sabbath, it is given to us to share in the holiness that is in the heart of time. Even when the soul is seared, even when no prayer can come out of our tightened throats, the clean, silent rest of the Sabbath leads us to a realm of endless peace, or to the beginning of an awareness of what eternity means. Here lies my absolute favorite definition of wonder: the beginning of an awareness of what eternity means. One more word about silence, about the wonder of absence, even if that absence is that of our Savior Jesus Christ. Part of the reason I included the passage from 1 Kings in today's reading is because it contains a verse that is among the most consistently and harmfully mistranslated across the Hebrew Bible. The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind so strong it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. In the vast majority of English translations, the final words of that passage are translated as a still small voice, or less commonly, a gentle whisper. But those are both translations of the Latin Vulgate, Simplius Aurei Tenaeus. The original Hebrew Masoretic text reads, Kol Dimama Deka, or the sound of thin, sheer silence. God's voice doesn't come to Elijah as a voice like any other, only quieter or farther away. It is a voice of silence. Heschel writes, the biblical words
about the genesis of the heaven and earth are not words of information, but words of appreciation. The story of creation is not a description of how the world came into being, but a song about the glory of the world's having come into being. And God saw that it was good. This is the challenge, to reconcile God's view with our experience. Never is this challenge more crucial than on the Saturdays of life. In times such as these, when the headlines and our phones are full of such suffering, such bleakness, such injustice, it is more important than ever to sing the song of glory, to celebrate against everything else. Heschel again. Every moment is a new arrival, a new bestowal. How to welcome the moment? How to respond to the marvel? The cardinal sin is in our failure not to sense the grandeur of the moment, the marvel and mystery of being, the possibility of quiet exaltation. The fundamental issue is not faith, but sensitivity and praise, being ready for faith. To be overtaken with the awe of God is not to entertain a feeling, but to share in a spirit that permeates all being. We praise with the pebbles on the road, that road to Emmaus, where the grieving disciples get met by the returned Christ. The pebbles are like petrified amazement, with all the flowers and trees which look as if hypnotized in silent devotion. Let us live devotedly in our Saturdays. Let us not expect the miracle to come, but allow ourselves to be joyfully surprised when it does. Let us resign ourselves to Fridays, hope for Sundays, and find our faith in Saturdays. Last word from our teacher this evening, Abraham Joshua Heschel. Faith is not belief and assent to a proposition. Faith is attachment to transcendence, to the meaning beyond the mystery. Wonder precedes faith. It is the root of faith. We must be guided by wonder to be worthy of faith. And the secret to a life of wonder is the power to praise. Praise is the harvest of love. Praise precedes faith. First we sing, then we believe. I'll leave you with words of my own. A simple prayer, a simple song of praise. Lord God, I give thanks for and I celebrate with every fiber of my being three unimpeachable truths. I am. We are. There is. I am. We are. There is. Hallelujah.